This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And last lesson, we spoke about the main activity of the day of Ramadan, and that is fasting. That's the main activity of the day. Today, inshallah ta'ala, I wanted to speak to you about the main activity of the nights of Ramadan, and that is al-qiyam. Al-qiyam. Al-qiyam means the night prayer. And more specifically, I want to speak about Salat al-Tarawih, the Tarawih prayers, and we'll discuss that in a bit of detail, inshallah ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, subhanallah, we realize from the authentic ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the same reward was mentioned for both fasting the days of Ramadan and praying the nights of Ramadan. This is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu that is found in Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man saama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih." That was the reward for fasting, that whoever fasts Ramadan out of faith and seeking the reward from Allah, Allah will forgive his previous sins. And the exact same hadith is mentioned for whoever prays the nights of Ramadan. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih." Same words. Whoever prays the nights of Ramadan out of faith, I'll explain this later on, and seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his previous sins are forgiven. And so, subhanallah, we find that the question that we ask is, the reward was equal. The reward was equal for fasting the days of Ramadan and praying the nights of Ramadan. So the reward was not equal because the night prayer is similar to fasting. I mean, the fasting is the obligation, and this is much more rewarding than the night prayer. The night prayer is only a sunnah. So how were they equal in reward concerning this hadith that we mentioned? Al-ulama rahimahumullah, the scholars, they said that the night prayer carried a huge reward, and it was similar to the fasting because we're speaking about the night prayer during Ramadan. This is not just a normal night prayer. This is a night prayer during Ramadan. So it carried this kind of heavy reward and huge reward of غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, that all the previous sins will be forgiven. And we'll speak a little later about the other rewards for Salat al-Tarawih. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, let's understand what is the connection between fasting and the night prayer. What is the connection and the relationship between these two? You see, fasting during the day, what does it do? One of the main things it does is that it cleans the heart, it purifies the heart. Fasting purifies the heart. And the heart is being purified for what reason? In preparation for the Quran that you will be reciting or listening to during the night prayer in Salat al-Tarawih. So this is the relationship. The fasting during the day, it's preparing this heart, it's purifying, it's washing, it's cleansing it. So that by the time it's night and you're standing in Salat al-Tarawih, or you're praying alone at home, the heart is cleansed, it's pure, it's ready for the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be received. And of course, what proves this even more is that when I ask you a question, what is the purpose of fasting? We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the purpose of fasting is to attain taqwa, la'allakum tattaqoon. So fasting qualifies you for the level of taqwa. It qualifies you for the level of taqwa. And so during the day, you're earning a taqwa, meaning your obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal is increasing, and your disobedience of Allah is decreasing. That's the meaning of taqwa. So you're at a high level of taqwa by the end of the day of Ramadan. And if your level of taqwa is high, that means your heart is ready to accept the guidance of the Quran. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He described the Quran, He said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. When Allah described the Quran, He described it and He said, it is a guidance for the muttaqeen. Meaning, only the muttaqeen, only the righteous, they will benefit from the guidance of the Quran. So the question is, if I want to benefit from the guidance of the Quran, I must be from the muttaqeen. I must have taqwa. And how do I increase my taqwa? How do I attain taqwa? By fasting. Because we already mentioned that the main purpose of fasting is to attain taqwa. So now you put these two things together, that the Quran offers guidance for the muttaqeen. The muttaqeen will benefit from the guidance. And how to increase your taqwa is through fasting. So this is the strong relationship between fasting the days and praying the nights. Wallahu a'lam. Okay, what I wanted to share with you now is a hadith which I mentioned earlier, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih." That whoever prays the nights of Ramadan out of faith, I'm going to explain all this, wa ihtisaban, seeking the reward from Allah. What reward are you seeking? We'll explain this. غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. The grand prize is that his previous sins are forgiven. So let's look at the beginning of this hadith. مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ. Whoever prays the night prayers of Ramadan. Now, how do we achieve praying the nights of Ramadan? What is meant by this? Let's get into a lot of detail. Al-ulama rahimahumullah have two opinions. The first opinion, they said that qama Ramadan, to stand the nights in prayer, this means it is salat al-tarawih. This is the opinion as Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned. What is meant by praying the nights of Ramadan, meaning salat al-tarawih. The other opinion is, it's not restricted to salat al-tarawih, rather it is any prayer of the night. So it could be a tahajjud, because the difference between at-tarawih and tahajjud is that at-tarawih is from al-qiyam. Al-qiyam is the night prayer that you pray when you haven't slept anything. So you pray Isha, and then you pray after that. If you haven't slept, that's called qiyam al-layl, like at-tarawih. And if you sleep a part of the night, then you wake up and you pray, that's called tahajjud. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qama Ramadan," anyone who prays the nights of Ramadan, including men and women, whoever prays the nights of Ramadan, this could mean either salat al-tarawih, or it could refer to at-tahajjud. If someone, for example, went home and slept, and then he woke up and prayed at the end of the night, he's also included in the grand prize and reward of this hadith. Okay. So the majority, of course, they mentioned that this is speaking about Salat al-Tarawih. This is how a person achieves praying the nights of Ramadan, by establishing Salat al-Tarawih. Now, let's speak about the story of Tarawih. Its origin, its foundation, where did it start and where did it come from? Firstly, the word al-Tarawih, it comes from the word tarwihatun, right? Tarwihatun. And tarwiha, هي المرة الواحدة من الراحة. يعني تراويح comes from the word تروحة, and that means a moment of relaxation, a moment of rest. So تراويح means to rest. Why was it called تراويح? Resting, what does that have to do with the prayer itself? Because the people, long time ago in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they used to pray at تراويح, they would pray long prayers. Long ruku'a, long sujood. And after they would pray four rak'at, they would rest. Then they would resume praying another four rak'at. And then they would pray the witr three rak'at. So it was called Taraweeh because of the rest that takes place between the rak'at that are prayed during the night. Okay, so now let's speak about the story of Taraweeh and how it originated and how it began. You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the fasting of the month of Ramadan was made obligatory in the second year of Hijrah. And so during the month of Ramadan, one night, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out of his house during the middle of the night. And he began to pray the night prayers, Salat al-Taraweeh, in the masjid, all of a sudden. And there were some companions in the masjid still at that time. So they joined the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they prayed with him Salat al-Taraweeh. The next morning, people of Medina began to discuss what had happened last night, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed a prayer and we all prayed with him in congregation. So the next night, more people gathered in the masjid and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out for the second night and people began to pray with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in congregation. The next morning, the discussion happened even further in Al-Madinah and everyone was speaking about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying the nights in Masjid al-Nabawi and he's praying Salat al-Taraweeh and everyone started to encourage everyone to come to the masjid to pray it. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so it was the third night now. So he's prayed two nights so far. And on the third night, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out and the masjid was absolutely packed. And he yet, for the third night, he prayed Salat al-Taraweeh in congregation with a lot of companions behind him. And then the fourth night came and the masjid was so full that the narrator Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, عَجَزَ الْمَسْجِدُ عَنْ أَهْلِهِ. The fourth night, the masjid became so full that it was so crowded among the companions that were in the masjid. They're waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come out and lead Salat al-Taraweeh. However, on the fourth night, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come out until it was Salat al-Fajr. He came out at Salat al-Fajr. He led Salat al-Fajr. And after the prayer, he turned to the companions, فَتَشَهَّدَ, meaning he wanted to speak to them now. He said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ. That's how he used to begin his talks, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said to them, Amma ba'd, as to what follows, فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَخْفَ عَلَيَّ مَكَانَكُمْ لَكِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تُفْرَضَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَعْجَزُوا عَنْهَا. He said to them, O companions, I am aware that you were gathered in the masjid last night. However, I did not come out to you and lead the prayer because I feared that this night prayer, this Taraweeh we're praying, I feared that it will become obligatory upon you. And if that was the case, if it became obligatory, you will not be able to pray it. You will not be able to commit to it. So, subhanAllah, we find the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He prayed Salat al-Taraweeh in congregation for three nights, and then he stopped praying it so that it doesn't become obligatory upon the Muslims later on. And in another narration, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu narrates, this was another Ramadan, in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out of his house and he led Salat al-Taraweeh with his companions on the 23rd night of Ramadan. And again on the 24th night. And again on the 25th night. And then he also led it on the 26th, and then 27, 28, 29. That he led all these nights. And then Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he says, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَقُمْ بِنَا شَيْئًا مِنَ الشَّهَرِ. And then after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever came out to lead Salat al-Taraweeh or the night prayer in Ramadan in congregation ever again. So this is the origin of Salat al-Taraweeh being prayed in congregation, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established this sunnah in his life. And he only stopped praying it in jama'ah, in congregation, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared that it will become compulsory upon ummat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if it did become compulsory, He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knows that we won't be able to commit to it and pray it every single night of Ramadan. He's saying this to the companions. Imagine our time. Imagine us. This is the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah described him, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's always compassionate and merciful towards his ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we said, he prayed a few nights of Taraweeh in congregation, and then he never prayed it until the day he died. When he died, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, and throughout the Khilafah, throughout the rule of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, which was about 2 years and 3 months, the Taraweeh was not prayed in congregation at all. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu died, and Umar radiallahu anhu was appointed the Khalifa of the believers. And during his Khilafah, at least for the first half of his Khilafah, there was no Taraweeh being prayed in congregation. In the second half of his Khilafah, the beginning of the second half, that is when Umar radiallahu anhu restored and reinstated the sunnah of Salat al-Taraweeh in congregation in the masjid for the very first time after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a narration that Abdul Rahman ibn Abdul Qari radiallahu anhu narrates. He says, kharajtu ma'a Umar. I was one time walking with Umar radiallahu anhu. He came out with Umar radiallahu anhu. And it was one of the nights of Ramadan. And they entered in al-Masjid al-Nabawi. And they had seen the people awza'an mutafarriqoon. Everyone was praying by himself. Someone was praying in the corner of the masjid, Salat al-Taraweeh. There were two people praying by themselves. There was وَيُصَلِّ الرَّجُلُ فَيُصَلِّ بِصَلَاتِهِ الرَّهَطِ. And there was a group up in the front of the masjid, a group praying Salat al-Taraweeh, led by one person, and behind him about 3 to 9 people, and someone praying by himself, and two people praying together. The people were scattered in Salat in Masjid al-Nabawi, and they were praying Taraweeh. This is during the second half of the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he looked at that, and he said, فقال عمر إني أرى لو جمعت هؤلاء على قارئ واحد لكان أمثل ثم عزم رضي الله عنه. He looked at this sight. He wasn't impressed. He didn't like it. So he was inspired and he thought and he said, if I gather all these people so that they all pray in the lead of one imam, that would be better. لكان أمثل. It would be better. So رضي الله عنه عمر, he did that. And he did that because when you have different groups and scattered people praying in the masjid, raising their voice, someone disturbs the other. So Umar radiallahu anhu gathered them so that they don't disturb each other. And he also gathered them because this is a sunnah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did during his life. So there is no innovation in this whatsoever. And he gathered them all. And they began to pray for the very first time in the second half of the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu at Taraweeh in congregation in Al-Masjid. Okay, فَجَمَعَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أُبَيْ. And Ubay radiallahu anhu was the imam. He was appointed as the imam. ثُمَّ خَرَجْتُ مَعَهُ. And Abdul Rahman ibn Abdul Qari, he says in that same hadith, he says, then on another night, I came out with Umar radiallahu anhu and we entered al-masjid. وَالنَّاسُ يَصَلُّونَ بِصَلَاتِ قَارِئِهِمْ. And now we had seen that the people are being led by the Imam Ubay. And يعني, Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw this on a second night of Ramadan, he saw this sight, he said, نِعْمَ الْبِدْعَةُ هَذِهِ وَالَّتِي يَنَامُونَ عَنْهَا أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الَّتِي يَقُومُونَ. Subhanallah, Umar radiallahu anhu, now since he reinstated this this sunnah, he looked at the congregation and he said, نعم البدعة هذه. What an excellent innovation this is. والتي ينامون عنها أفضل من التي يقومون. But what they sleep and miss is better than what they are doing now. What he means by this is that the night prayer at the end of the night is better than praying at the beginning of the night. And they were praying Salat al-Tarawih at the beginning of the night. Okay, and of course, let's just focus on this word, ni'ma al-bid'atu hadhih. What did Umar radiallahu anhu mean? When he saw the congregation praying at Tarawih, he said, ni'ma al-bid'ah. What an excellent bid'ah this is. So what does that mean? When we know that there is no bid'ah in Islam, that is of good bid'ah. All the innovations in Islam are evil innovations. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Every innovation is a misguidance. So let's understand, the word bid'ah has a linguistic meaning and it has an Islamic meaning. Linguistically, if you just opened up any dictionary, bid'ah means something that's new, that's never seen before. That's what bid'ah means, something that's new. You know, if new technology comes out today that has never been seen before, in Arabic we call that bid'ah. Like for example, Tesla, you know the Tesla, the company, when they made their cars, electric car, you can say that's a bid'ah because before that time, no one knew anything about electric cars. So that's linguistically what bid'ah means. And the other meaning for bid'ah is the technical Islamic meaning. The Islamic meaning of bid'ah is introducing something, a teaching into the Islam, into the religion that has nothing to do with it while you're attributing it to Islam. This is Islamically what a bid'ah is, and this is what's forbidden. When Umar radiallahu anhu saw the Tarawih being prayed in congregation and said, ni'mal bid'atu hadhih, what an excellent bid'ah this is, he means the linguistic meaning of bid'ah, meaning this is something new that had never seen, has never been seen before. Because praying Tarawih in congregation never happened in the Khilafah of Umar, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and for the first half of Umar's Khilafah, it never happened. So now that it happened in the second half of the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu, linguistically, it's known as a bid'ah because it's something new that the people were not used to ever before this. So he said, ni'ma al-bid'atu hadhihi, and this is what is meant by that. And so, يعني, Umar radiallahu anhu continued to bring the people to pray Salat al-Tarawih in congregation. And ever since he established it and reinstated this sunnah, up until this day, it has always been prayed in congregation in al-masjid. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai al-rashideen al-mahdiyin ba'di. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, he advised us to adhere ourselves to his sunnah, to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to the sunnah of the four rightly guided khulafa, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. So what the khulafa radiallahu anhum do is a sunnah for us to follow as well. And so Umar radiallahu anhu gathers the people to pray Salat al-Tarawih in congregation. Now we say this is a sunnah that originated during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reinstated in the khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. So there is absolutely no doubt among the respected scholars of Ahl Sunnah, they have unanimously agreed that it is permissible and it is indeed legislated that we pray Salat al-Tarawih in congregation. Walhamdulillah. Now, let's move on. This basically was the story of al-Tarawih and how it happened. Let's speak about the reward of praying al-Tarawih. What was mentioned in that? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach the ummah about the reward of al-Tarawih? You see, why is this important? Because when you know the reward of something, you're motivated to work towards that thing. That's very simple. Like, children. How do you motivate them to do work? How do you motivate? Through gifts. If you told your child, if you said to him, son, daughter, if you cut the grass today, I will give you $100. The reward motivates them to go out and cut the grass. So this is human beings. Allah Azza wa Jal, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spends a great deal of his life, and a great part of a sunnah is about actions we do and what their reward is. So we have to know what the rewards of Salat al-Tarawih and the night prayer is so that we're motivated to pray. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that, I'll share with you three. The first reward for Salat al-Tarawih, as I mentioned to you at the beginning of this lesson, al-Hadith, that it is a reason for all your previous sins to be forgiven. Ulama rahimahumullah said this is referring to the minor sins. However, if a person prayed with the intention of tawbah and repentance and regretting his past and the sins that he has committed, then no doubt his salat will wipe away his major sins and his minor sins. All of them will be gone. So that's the first reward of Salat al-Taraweeh, that if it's prayed every single night of Ramadan, a person will be forgiven from all his previous sins. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful reward this is. Who among us will say, I don't need this kind of reward? We are in need of being forgiven because our sins are going to embarrass us in this life, in the grave and in the hereafter. They are an embarrassment for us. Yani our entire purpose in life before we die, our aim is to clear our record from our sins so that we enter our graves with no sin, so we can experience bliss and joy and happiness from the moment we're put in our grave. So that when we're resurrected and stand before Allah, alhamdulillah, we have nothing to worry about, all our sins are cleansed. For this is a big mission. We're on a serious mission in life. You need to be thinking every single day, how am I going to clean my sins before I die? So here's a great opportunity. Pray every single night of Ramadan, and there you go. All your previous sins are cleansed. The second reward that is mentioned is that the one who is consistent and prays all the nights of Ramadan, if he dies while having prayed all his nights of Ramadan, right? So let's say this person lived for 50 years, and for all the Ramadans he's prayed, all the Ramadan he's fasted, he's prayed all the nights. Such a person, if he was to die, any time he dies, كَانَ مِنَ الصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ Allahu Akbar. He becomes raised with the truthful ones, الصديقين, like Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. وَالشُّهَدَاءِ And he's raised as a martyr, among the martyrs. And this came in the hadith of Amr ibn Murr al-Juhani رضي الله عنه. He narrates that a man from Quba'ah, a town, a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, إِنِّي شَهِدْتُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. وَأَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ And you're the messenger of Allah. وَصَلَّيْتُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ And I prayed my five prayers. This, a man is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this. I prayed my five prayers. وَصُمْتُ رَمَضَانَ وَقُمْتُهُ And I fasted the days of Ramadan and I prayed the nights of Ramadan. وَآتَيْتُ الزَّكَاةِ And I gave the zakat of my wealth. I paid the zakat. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this person, in response the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى هَذَا كَانَ مِنَ الصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ Whoever dies upon this state, while believing in Allah and His Messenger, prays His five prayers, fasts Ramadan, and prays its night and gives zakat, whoever dies in this state, كَانَ مِنَ الصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ He is from among the truthful ones, like Abu Bakr, or Umar, or Uthman. He's raised among these people, he's gathered in their group on the Day of Judgment, وَالشُّهَدَاءِ And he's raised as a martyr. He's among the martyrs. Allahu Akbar. So don't waste this opportunity. Be from among those who pray the nights alongside fasting the days of Ramadan. And the third beautiful reward that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us about Salat al-Taraweeh, he said, and this reward comes actually in a story, and that is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time during his life came out on the 25th night of Ramadan. And he led the prayer. The Sahaba, they prayed behind him. And he led the prayer until he prayed half the night. Then Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, لو نفلتنا قيام هذه الليلة, why didn't you just pray the whole night? Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed half the night. And Abu Dharr is saying, Ya Rasulullah, why didn't you just pray the whole night? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ إِذَا صَلَّى مَعَ الْإِمَامِ حَتَّى يَنْصَرِفْ حُسِبَ لَهُ قِيَامُ لَيْلَةٍ That if a person was to pray with the Imam, Salat al-Taraweeh, was to pray with the Imam, until the Imam leaves, then Allah would record for that person as though he prayed the entire night, Allahu Akbar, what a reward. You earn the reward of praying the entire night while you only would have prayed an hour, half an hour of Taraweeh, and then you slip the rest of the night. You earn as though reward as though you have prayed the whole night. Allahu Akbar. Walhamdulillah for this blessing. This is from the mercy and the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you only pray with the Imam, Salat al-Taraweeh, let's say this Imam prayed half an hour or 1 hour of Taraweeh, and you did not pray anything else that night, you just went straight to sleep and you didn't get up until suhoor, until fajr, you would earn the reward as though you prayed the entire night even while you're asleep. Allahu Akbar. So don't waste this opportunity, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And what is meant by praying with the Imam until he leaves? Remember, because earning the reward of praying the entire night, you must pray with the Imam until he leaves. What that means is until the Imam makes taslim from the last rak'ah of Salat al-Witr. Whether the prayer was long or short, doesn't matter. Well, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he used to pray with the Imam and he did not get leave the masjid until the Imam left the masjid, right? So until the Imam leaves, that could mean يعني, two things. One, until he says assalamu alaykum from the last rak'ah of al-Witr. Now, it's best to sit down and wait for the Imam to walk out of the door of the masjid. Then walk behind him. You will earn the reward of praying the entire night. However, if the Imam has a habit of sitting after Salat al-Taraweeh, after al-Witr, and sits long and drinks tea and speaks with the people and so on, then it's fine. You can walk out and you will earn the reward of praying the entire night. So long as you made taslim with him in the last rak'ah of Salat al-Witr. All right. And of course, if the masjid has two imams, in the case it has two imams, then in order to achieve the reward of praying the entire night, you must pray with the two imams and only leave after both of them finish from at-Tarawih and al-Witr. Naam, wallahu a'lam. And of course, some people ask about if the Imam prayed Salat al-Witr three rak'at, can I get up and pray a fourth one? And then, you know, later on, can I pray at night and then pray the Witr at the end of the night? Would I still earn the reward as though I prayed the entire night? Yes, you would earn that reward. So the main thing is finishing with the Imam. And of course, if you did that, you do not pray two Witrs in one night. So you can pray with the Imam, At-Tarawih and Salat al-Witr. And then you can, what you can do is, you can pray Salat al-Witr and end your Salat, and you have prayed the Witr at the beginning of the night. And then at the end of the night, you can get up and pray more, no problems. But do not repeat the Witr, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا وِتْرَانِ فِي لَيْلَةٍ. You should not pray two Witr in one night. And the other thing you can do is, pray with the Imam, pray with him al-Witr, and when he makes the taslim at the third rak'ah of Witr, you get up and pray a fourth rak'ah. And then you can pray after that at your home, and then you can pray Witr just before Salat al-Fajr. All of it is correct, all of it is permissible, and in all cases, a person would earn the reward as though he has prayed the entire night. The main thing is, you end your Salat with the Imam, and you leave with him al-Masjid. Wallahu a'lam. Now, okay, so now let's move on to the discussion of, is Salat al-Taraweeh 8 rak'at or 20 rak'at? So, in brief, there are two ahadith narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, in which she says, ما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزيد في رمضان ولا في غيره على 11 ركعة يصلي أربعا فلا تسأل عن حسنهن وطولهن ثم يصلي أربعا فلا تسأل عن حسنهن وطولهن ثم يصلي ثلاثا. This is an authentic hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, in which Aisha radiallahu anha described the night prayer of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never ever used to pray more than 11 rak'at, whether it was in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan. He used to pray 4 rak'at, and do not ask about how beautiful and perfect they were. وطولهن, and how long they were. They were long and they were beautiful. And then he would pray another four, and do not ask about how perfect and beautiful they were and how long they were, meaning they were so long and so perfect and so beautiful. And then that's eight. And then after that, he would pray three rak'at, and that is Salat al-Witr. And what is meant by him praying four, then four? It could mean two things. Either he prayed four rak'at in a row and made taslim at the end. So first rak'ah, second, third, fourth, and only one tahiyat at the end of the fourth rak'ah, and then taslim. And then he would pray another four, all in a row, and at tahiyat, one tahiyat at the end, and taslim at the end. Or it could mean, four could mean that he prayed two, and he made taslim. Then another two, and taslim. Then he rested, then he prayed two, and he made taslim, and then another two, and he made taslim. Wallahu alam, perhaps, yani, both of them are correct in their understanding. Another narration by Aisha radiallahu anha, see, this is where it becomes a bit confusing, but alhamdulillah, it's not confusing. I'll explain to you. In Sahih al-Bukhari wa Muslim, Aisha radiallahu anha, in another narration, when she described the prayer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, كَانَ يُصَلِّ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ ثَلَاثَ عَشَرَةَ رَكْعَةَ مِنْهَا الْوِتْرُ رَكْعَةَ الْفَجْرِ, that he prayed 13 rak'at. What does that mean? You see, in the previous narration, she said he never used to pray more than 11. 8 for the night prayers and 3 witr. Now in this narration, she says that he prayed 13 rak'at. What is meant by this is 8 rak'at for the night prayer, 8 rak'at for the night prayer, 3 rak'at for the witr, that's 11, and then 2 rak'at sunnat al-fajr, the sunnah of Salat al-Fajr, that makes it 13. So we understand, walhamdulillah, that the night prayers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maximum were 11 rak'at. 3 of them were dedicated for Salat al-Witr. Okay. So clearly, what we can see in this hadith is that the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to pray 11 rak'at at night, no more. However, the sunnah, his sunnah was 11 rak'at, and we don't only focus on the quantity, but they were quality rak'at. That even if he wanted to pray more, he didn't have time to pray more, because that's how long they were, and that's how perfect and beautiful they were. I mean, in some narrations, he'd pray 5 juz' in one rak'ah. How long would that take? Hours. And not only that, in the narration it says, لا يمر بآية رحمة إلا سأل الله إياها ولا بآية عذاب إلا تعوذ منها, that whenever he came across an ayah that spoke about Allah's mercy, he would ask Allah for his mercy. And if he was to come by an ayah that speaks about the punishment of Allah, he would seek refuge and seek protection from in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, 8 rak'at and 3 witr, all up 11 rak'at, but it wasn't just about the quantity, it was about quality as well, perfect long prayers. So this is where the number 8 comes from. It was actually what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do. Then at the beginning of, so where did the 20 come? Let's discuss the 20. At the beginning of Umar radiallahu anhu's khilafah, in the second half of his khilafah, when he restored the Taraweeh prayer in jama'ah and congregation, he instructed Ubay radiallahu anhu and Tamim al-Dari to lead the people in Taraweeh and pray only 11 rak'at, 8 being at Taraweeh and 3 for the witr. Then after a few years, people were not able to stand for long. Yani, during the khilafah of Umar, when Umar radiallahu anhu first reinstated al-Taraweeh, it was described that the people would lean on their staff, on their stick, because of how long the prayers were. Later on, during the Khilafah of Umar, a few years later, people started getting lazy, and they weren't able to stand like they used to stand in previous years. So what happened is that the recitation per rak'ah, the recitation of the Quran per rak'ah was reduced, and the number of rak'ahs was increased. Right? And this is how we got 20 rak'at for Salat al-Taraweeh, and add to that 3, which was for Salat al-Witr. البيهقي رحمه الله, he narrates in his book of hadith that As-Sa'ib ibn Yazid رحمه الله, he said that during the Khilafah of Umar, we prayed 20 rak'at. And this narration is authenticated by An-Nawawi wal-Iraqi رحمهم الله. And what proves that this narration is authentic? Because some ulama questioned this narration. Some ulama rejected this narration that Umar radiallahu anhu prayed 20. They rejected it. But what proves that it's authentic is what Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah narrated and what was recorded in Al-Mudawwana. You know, Al-Mudawwana is a personal collection of the opinions of Malik, Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, and what he saw and witnessed from the actions of the people of Al-Madinah. That's where Malik rahimahullah lived. So Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim, he's the one who wrote Al-Mudawwana. He's the one who collected all the personal opinions of Imam Malik rahimahullah. Abdul Rahman ibn Qasim is from the children or from the generation, the grandchildren of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So what was written in this Mudawwana that proves the authenticity of 20 rak'at being prayed during the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu was that one time the ruler, sent a message to Al-Imam Malik, requesting from Al-Imam Malik to reduce the number, he requested to reduce the number of rak'at that the people are praying in Taraweeh. And it was 39 at that time. Yani it even reached that. People were praying Salat al-Taraweeh 36 rak'at plus 3 witr. That's 39 rak'at. The ruler sent a message to Imam Malik, tell the people to reduce 39 rak'at, pray less. So Imam Malik rahimahullah forbid the ruler. And he said to him, this is what I witnessed the people of Medina doing. And they have been doing this for a long time. So Imam Malik rahimahullah, he's describing what he saw in Al-Madinah. So this is absolutely authentic. And so there you go. Salat al-Taraweeh, it started 11 rak'at, 8 Taraweeh, and 3 for Salat al-Witr. Then in the time of Umar, it was 20 rak'at Taraweeh plus 3 rak'at Witr. That's 23. And later on, during the time of Umar, later on at the end, it was 36 rak'at plus 3 witr. That's 39. So can you see the progression here? We had 11 rak'at, 23, and then 39. All of this is narrated authentically. Subhanallah. So yes, praying 8 rak'at is fine. Praying 20 is fine. Praying 39 is fine. There is no issue whatsoever. All of it is authentic. But the best thing to do when people are stubborn on the narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed 11 and that's the best thing to do, fine. Yes, of course, sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best thing to do and the best thing to follow. And so we will say in support of that, that the best thing to do is pray 11 rak'at, right? So 8 taraweeh and 3 witr. But be very careful and pay attention to the quality of your 11 rak'at. Because as-sunnatu adadan wa sifa. If you want to achieve the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not only 11 rak'at. It's 11 rak'at. It's about the quality, 11 rak'at. And it's about the quantity. And it's also about the quality. Long prayers. Perfect, beautiful prayers. Subhanallah. So this is where we find the flaw in a lot of people that reject the idea or the prayer of 20 rak'at. They reject it and they hold on to 11. And they're the same people that pray these 11 really quick, in half an hour, in 1 hour. So if you wanted to achieve and implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask about the best, we will say the best is 11. But also to pray them as long and beautiful and perfect, just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray them. And as I said, there is absolutely no harm in praying more than 11 rak'at at night, so long as you pray them in twos. And we have dalil for this, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said صلاه الليل مثنى مثنى, that the prayer of the night should be in twos. So you pray two, 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 and so on. And you can pray as much as you want during the night. Walhamdulillah. Now, okay. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran spoke about night prayers, He never spoke anything about the number of rak'at. The only focus that Allah azza wa jal would bring to the night prayer was the duration of the night prayer, how long a person would pray. For example, we find in Surah Al-Muzzammil itself, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ إِنْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, pray half the night, or a little less than half the night, you know, until you reach a third. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ, increase until you reach two thirds. So pray half the night, a little less than half the night, pray a third of the night, pray two thirds of the night. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَيِ اللَّيْلِ. Allah knows that you pray almost two thirds of the night. وَنِصْفَهُ, you pray half the night. وَثُلُثَهُ, and you pray a third of the night. So when the Quran spoke about the night prayer, all it spoke about, Allah Azza wa Jal would speak about the duration, how long a person would pray at night, how long Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would pray. And there's nothing mentioned about the number of rak'at in the Quran. We take this from the sunnah. And the sunnah is that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would pray 11 rak'at, three being al-witr. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also, from his words, when he said mathna mathna, that the night prayer should be prayed in twos, we understand from this that the night is open and you're allowed to pray as many rak'at as you want. Alhamdulillah. So that ends the discussion of 8 and 20 rak'at. Let me move on to the next point, and that is, for both men and women, where is it better to pray Salat al-Taraweeh? Individually at home or in congregation in al-Masjid? So the majority, now let's speak about men first, then we'll speak about women. For men, the majority of al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they said that the prayer in congregation at the Masjid is better. To pray Taraweeh in congregation, in the Masjid, for the men, is better. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself prayed it in congregation during his life with his companions. And he would have continued to pray it in congregation. However, he feared that it would become obligatory, so he stopped it. Also, what proves that it's better to pray it in congregation in al-Masjid is because Umar radiallahu anhu reinstated this prayer in congregation in al-Masjid. So now it's better for us to follow the sunnah of Umar radiallahu anhu and pray Salat al-Taraweeh in al-Masjid. And also one of the third proofs for this is due to the reward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever prays with the Imam Salat al-Taraweeh and al-Witr during Ramadan until the Imam leaves, he would have earned the reward as though he prayed the entire night. So that's the majority opinion, that praying Salat al-Taraweeh for men in congregation is the best. Another opinion, and this is the opinion of Al-Malikiyya, rahimahumullah, and others, they said that praying Salat al-Taraweeh at home is better. And the proof was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ صَلَاتِ الْمَرْءِ فِي بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it's best for a person to pray all his prayers at home except the obligatory prayers. That the obligatory prayers, of course, it's better to pray them in the masjid, and everything else is better to be prayed at home. And Salat al-Taraweeh is not an obligation, so it's better to pray it at home. But those that said this opinion, they said under the condition that the congregation for Taraweeh is established at al-Masajid, in the Masajid, and not completely abandoned. Because al-ulama, rahimahumullah, have agreed that it is haram to completely abandon Salat al-Taraweeh in congregation in the Masjid altogether. If your area or your country does not pray Salat al-Taraweeh at all in congregation in al-Masjid, that's haram, not allowed to do this. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ. Adhere to the sunnah of the khulafa, adhere to them. And the sunnah of Umar was to pray it in congregation in al-Masjid. So Al-Malikiyya and others would say that Salat al-Taraweeh is best to be prayed at home so long as it's been established somewhere in that town or in the country you live in, it's been established in the masajid around you. Okay, so now, what do we really understand from all this? I gave you two opinions. Finally, we have يعني, a group of ulama that joined between all these opinions, and they said, whoever has memorized the Quran and has strength to pray at home, then whether he prays it at home or at al-masjid, it's all the same reward for him. This is what al-Shafi'iyya rahimahumullah said. And for such a person, who has memorized the Quran and has the strength to pray, it's up to him now. He chooses. What brings him more khushu'? What brings him more sincerity at home? Then pray it at home. It's better at home. Does he find more khushu' and sincerity praying it at al-masjid? Then it's best for him to pray it at al-masjid. It depends. And whoever hasn't memorized the Quran, which is the majority of the ummah, and whoever doesn't have the strength to pray it at home, so he fears that I might become lazy at home or not find the courage and the motivation to pray at home, then definitely for such a person, praying Salat al-Tarawih at the masjid in congregation would be better for him. So that's how we determine what's better for a man to pray Salat al-Tarawih in congregation at al-masjid or at home. We explain that, walhamdulillah. Let's speak about women now. Women praying at Tarawih at al-masjid or at home. So let's say that generally, it is known that it's best for women to pray at home. I'm speaking general terms. It's best, we know that it's best for women to pray at home, all their prayers, fard or nafil, voluntary, tarawih, and everything else. For a hadith, this is backed by a hadith in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ, that the woman praying their prayers in their homes is much better for them, much better for them. And this is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this concerning the fard prayer at the masjid of the Prophet, Masjid al-Nabawi, in which we know that one salat in Masjid al-Nabawi is equal to 1,000 prayers. So imagine now the voluntary prayers, like the sunnah before and after the prayers, at-tarawih prayer and other prayers. Most definitely, it's best for women to pray them at home. And of course, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also teaches us that the more private the prayer of a woman, the more rewarding and better it is for her. And this is found in the hadith of Ummu Humayd al-Sa'idiyya radiyallahu anha, in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told her, if you pray in the most inner part of your house, it's much better than to pray in the general space of your house. And to pray in the general space of your house is much better than to pray in the local masjid. And to pray in the local masjid is much better than to pray in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and so on. So the more private the prayer of a woman, the better and more rewarding it is for her. Okay. But in saying what I just explained to you generally, in saying that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said, لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. Do not forbid the female slaves of Allah from attending the houses of Allah. So men have been commanded by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam not to forbid our woman from attending the masjid. So if a woman was to request from her husband, can I go to this masjid and pray, whether it's a fard prayer or a nafil prayer or salat al-tarawih, then her husband must give her permission so long as there is no fee and no fitna upon her. Okay, and of course, the female companions during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had a dedicated space for them in Masjid al-Nabawi, in where they would offer their prayers. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would forbid the men from getting out and leaving the masjid until the woman had left first. And then there are narrations that the woman would attend Salat al-Fajr and Salat al-Isha, all covered up, and they would come and they would pray. So it is definite and it is well known that women used to pray in the masjid behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even Umar radiallahu anhu did the same thing during his khilafah. Umar radiallahu anhu, he made a separate entry, a separate door and an entry for the woman to enter the masjid so that they do not mix with the men, and so on. So this is well known and it is established in our deen that women used to pray and would pray their prayers in al-masjid, whether it's Salat al-Taraweeh or whether it's the obligatory prayers. There is a sunnah in that. There is narrations that would prove that this was the case and it would happen. However, there are rules here. If a woman wants to pray in the masjid, she must abide by three conditions. Number one, that she adheres to the proper Islamic hijab. Hijab doesn't just mean the covering of the hair. That's just a part of hijab. Hijab are eight conditions. Some of them include that she is not allowed to wear tight clothing, revealing clothing, see-through clothing, perfume, and so on. Fa'al-hijab, complete hijab. She must come to the masjid with complete hijab. For a woman to come to the masjid, three conditions. Complete hijab. Number two, أن يخرجن التفيلات. تفيلات meaning that they come out having no perfume on them whatsoever. If a woman has perfume on her clothing or body, she is not allowed to go to the masjid. And the third condition, that she takes approval of her husband. That she takes the approval of her husband. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that if a woman was to request from one of you that she wanted to go to the masjid, do not prevent her. Do not prevent her. So these are the three conditions. And of course, men must be of understanding, knowing that it is not allowed to ban a woman from going to the masjid unless there is a serious harm or a threat or a risk for her to leave. In that case, he can prevent her for her own safety. Wallahu a'lam. Salat al-Taraweeh for women in the masjid takes the exact same ruling as we discussed, that it is best done at home for women. However, if the woman is going to be lazy at home for Salat al-Taraweeh and she's not going to find motivation to pray Taraweeh at home, and at the same time, if she attends the masjid, there will be benefit for her. She will learn something from the lesson that's given during the Taraweeh prayers. She will meet the sisters and strengthen her relationship with them. Her iman would increase, her taqwa would increase. Then most definitely, she is encouraged to attend the masjid and pray in congregation Salat al-Taraweeh due to these benefits. And once again, if a woman finds strength to pray at home, and she finds more khushu' to pray at home, and she has memorized the Quran, and she can lead herself in Taraweeh, of course it's best for her to pray at home. So the option is given to the woman at the end, and she can decide whether praying Salat al-Taraweeh at the masjid is best for her or not. And we said, so long as she adheres to the three commands, wearing the proper hijab, not having any perfume on, and seeking the permission of her husband, then it is absolutely fine and no one should ban her and her husband or her father or her brother or whoever's responsible for her should not ban her from going to the masjid. Walhamdulillah. We move on to the next matter, and that is women that are in their menstrual cycle, how do they attain the reward of being forgiven of all their previous sins, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, anyone who prays the nights of Ramadan out of iman and seeking the reward from Allah, Allah would forgive them for all their sins. So how can a woman achieve this if she goes through her menstrual cycle during this month? Because if she goes into her menstrual cycle during the month, then there are some nights that she did not observe night prayer in. So does that mean she misses out on the reward of being forgiven of all her previous sins? Or otherwise, of course, al-ulama rahimahumullah, they said that if a woman goes through her menstrual cycle, she must leave the prayer. She is not allowed to pray. And her leaving the prayer is a worship in and of itself. She is rewarded for leaving the prayer and, of course, leaving the fast because she is obeying Allah's command. Allah is the one who instructed, and through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he instructed women, do not pray if you're going through your menstrual cycle. So when a woman leaves off the prayer, She is obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So most definitely, if this woman didn't go through the menstrual cycle, she would have naturally prayed the night prayer of Ramadan. Therefore, she would earn the reward as though she prayed those nights. And nothing diminishes from her reward. Walhamdulillah. And a woman, of course, is encouraged to spend the nights in where she has her menstrual cycle, to spend the nights in other forms of worship, like reading the Quran, with dhikr, with dua, with istighfar, with sadaqah, and many other forms of good deeds that a person can do. Alhamdulillah. So now we find out, we go back to that hadith, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man qama Ramadan, whoever stands the nights of Ramadan in prayer, Imanan, and we just had a discussion on all of this, we continue the hadith, he said, Imanan, he prays the nights, prays Salat al-Tarawih or Tahajjud or any part of the night, Imanan, out of Iman, out of Iman. What does that mean? Meaning that you believe there is such a thing known as Qiyamul Layl, the night prayer. And there is such a thing that Allah Azza wa Jal legislated the night prayer for us believers. And you're praying it out of Iman, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that there's such a thing. Not praying the night prayers as a habit. You know, the hadith did not say adatan. Oh, no, you know, wallah, we're used to praying the night prayers every single night, so let's just pray because it's a habit. No, don't ever pray assuming or having in your intention, oh, this is a habit of mine. I just pray because it's a habit. Salat al-Tarawih is not prayed as a habit. Rather, it's prayed imanan, with full faith that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who legislated this, and we are praying it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. We are praying it for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imanan. You see, the word imanan also implies that the night prayer itself increases a person in iman. Because this deed, the night prayer, it's a deed of iman. Therefore, it increases a person's iman. Allahu Akbar. Wahtisaban. And whoever prays the night prayer, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking the reward. What does that mean? To seek the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning as you pray the night prayers of Ramadan, you are seeking that Allah azza wa jal forgive all your previous sins. That you're seeking as well that if you are to die ever in your life, that you be from among as-siddiqeen wa shuhada, the truthful ones and the martyrs, like I explained to you earlier in this lesson. When you pray Salat al-Tarawih ihtisaban, you're seeking the reward from Allah. What reward? To earn the reward of praying the entire night. You're seeking that reward as well. Have multiple intentions, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Because the more intention you have, the more reward you earn. And also ihtisaban, seeking the reward from Allah. What reward are you seeking? To enter the paradise and be raised ranks in the paradise. Because that is one of the rewards of the night prayer, that a person enters the paradise. That's one of its rewards. And he is increased levels in the paradise. Allahu Akbar. So, ihtisaban. What's the result? Whoever prays the night prayers in Ramadan out of Iman and seeking the reward from Allah, these are the conditions. The result is, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. All his previous sins are forgiven. Gone, wiped away. Allahu Akbar. And we said that the ulama rahimahumullah discussed and they differed among themselves. Is it the minor sins or the major sins? The majority said it's the minor sins because the major sins require a tawbah. However, if you prayed the night prayers and you made tawbah, you intended a tawbah in these prayers and you regretted your past in these prayers and the sins, then most definitely they would wipe away your bad, your major sins and your minor sins. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the previous sins are forgiven, that doesn't include the rights of people. So if you owe someone something, or you cursed someone, or you slandered someone, and you did that kind of stuff, that's not forgiven. Rather, if you want those to be forgiven, you need to seek forgiveness from the people themselves, because the rights of the people must be returned. What is forgiven are sins between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what's forgiven. Finally, my brothers and sisters in Islam, what does a person do if he gets lazy concerning Salat al-Tarawih? Listen, my brothers and sisters in Islam, listen. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said to Abdullah ibn Abi Qais radiallahu anhu, she said to him, لا تدع قيام الليل. Do not leave out the night prayers whatsoever. Don't. فَإِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَانَ لَا يَدَعُهُ. Because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never, ever, ever left off and gave up the night prayers. Never. وَكَانَ إِذَا مَرِضَ أَوْ كَسَلْ صَلَّى قَاعِدًا. And if he was ever to be sick during the night, or he became tired, he would pray the night prayer sitting. Allahu Akbar. There's no excuse for anyone to abandon the night prayer, especially in Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he got sick or he was tired, he did not give up the prayer at night. He did not give it up. He would find a chair for himself, or he would sit on the floor and continue praying the night prayer. So if you experience a moment of laziness concerning Salat al-Taraweeh, you don't want to pray it, you got lazy, you don't find motivation, ya akhi, my sister, my brother, don't leave off the prayer. Pray it even if you sat down, pray it sitting. You will earn, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, you'll earn the reward of the one who prayed the night prayers of Ramadan, so that he can earn its reward of forgiveness of sins and those plenty of rewards that we mentioned. And as you pray Salat al-Taraweeh, motivate yourself. Motivate yourself. How? Remind yourself that the prayer is the best deed to Allah Azza wa Jal. The most beloved deed to Allah Azza wa Jal, as in the hadith, is as-salat fi waqtiha, in its time. You know? And be certain as you're praying, be certain. And tell yourself, convince yourself, Allah, there is nothing that you could be doing right now that is better than what you're doing at the moment when you're praying. Tell yourself this. It's a powerful statement and a concept, Allah. As you pray, remind yourself, Wallahi, there is nothing better you could be doing than what you are doing right now in Salat. What is it as you pray? What do you want to do? What is it? Why do you want to leave the prayer? Why? What is it? What are you going to do that's better than what you're doing right now? Nothing. Nothing, Wallahi, even if you were to be given a suitcase of gold, going to pick that up won't be better than what you are doing right now as you're standing and praying. So once you know this, you relax. And you know, you actually would be grateful for this moment. You would say, Alhamdulillah, and you would appreciate the blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal gave you the strength and the ability and allowed you to be one of a few servants around the world to be standing and doing the most beloved thing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. What an honor. Wallahi, if you are lazy and you remind yourself of what I just told you, your iman would spike in the roof. It would spike through the roof. And all of a sudden, you'll find this energy and motivation to continue praying. And you would wish, wallahi, this is the moment that if I was to die in this moment, would be the best moment in my life, because I'm doing the most beloved deed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, it's only now, what is it, the sixth night. We are heading now towards the sixth day of Ramadan. We're still in the early days. And what is yet to come of the days of Ramadan is much, much better and more rewarding and more virtuous than what has already passed. We still have ahead of us the last 10 nights, Al-Laylatul Qadr, so more beautiful nights that are coming ahead. So we need to train ourselves from now and get it right. Don't be lazy concerning the night prayers. Pray them in congregation, in the masjid, if you find laziness. Women as well, and men as well, both. If you find laziness at home and you're not motivated, go pray them at the masjid in congregation and go learn a thing or two from the imam and from the lessons that are given. Go and increase your iman and your taqwa. Strengthen your relationship with your brothers and your sisters in al-masjid. Walhamdulillah, there's plenty. There's plenty to take and plenty for you to be motivated to pray Salat al-Taraweeh. Allah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, work towards this hadith. Man qama Ramadan, the one who stands in prayer during all the nights of Ramadan, imanan, out of iman, love for Allah Azza wa Jal, believing this legislation of Qiyamul Layl, wahtisaban, seeking your reward from Allah. You don't want the reward of people and the appreciation of people. What's that going to do for you? You want Allah's love and Allah's appreciation and acceptance of you. Allahu Akbar. The reward. وَغْفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Now you qualify that all your previous sins are wiped away from your account. Alhamdulillah. After that, you can thank Allah Azza wa Jalla and appreciate this reward that He has given you. وَالْحَمْدُ Rabbil Alameen. That's what I had to share with you about Salat al-Taraweeh and the night prayers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins, to forgive our shortcomings, to accept this gathering. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And I'll see you soon, insha'Allah ta'ala, on another live. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.